Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph is today's blot, and we're going to begin on Daf Yud Am Beis at the Mishnah, the bottom of the Yomit. Rabbi Yehuda says, Boitkin Abba Osa was supposed to do B'dikas Chametz on the eve of Erev Pesach, or Abba Osa Shachris Erev Pesach in the morning, or B'shas Habir, and at the time of burning chametz, which we're going to learn is Shor Shishis on Erev Pesach. So, Posh Pshat and Yehuda in the Mishnah is that B'dikas chametz has to be done at three different times. The Cham Omrim, the Cham Hold, Loi Bodak Arba Asar, if B'dikas chametz was not done on the night, Yivdak B'Arba Asar, do it on Erev Pesach. Loi Bodak B'Arba Asar, if B'dikas Chametz was not done in the morning of Erev Pesach, Yivdoik B'toich HaMoyed, he should be B'odik during, according to Rashi's explanation, the sixth hour. Lo'Bodik B'toich HaMoyed, if he was not B'odik Chametz during the time, the sixth hour, Yivdoik L'ach HaMoyed, he could do B'dikas Chametz until the night. But according to Rashi's explanation of the Chachamim will also hold that you cannot do B'dikas Chametz once Pesach begins. Mashma Shair, after B'dikas Chametz is done, what's ever left over, Yenichana B'tzina, should be put away in a secure place, Kedei Shelo Yitzorach B'dika Akrav, in order that somebody should not have to go do B'dikas Chametz again. For as we learned on before, on Daf Tes, there are three reasons for this halacha. Abaye held that since on Erev Pesach there's less chametz available, the weasels take the chametz and hide it. The Gemara asked on that, how do the weasels know that today is Erev Pesach? Rav explained that we won't put it away in a secure place. We are concerned that in front of us a weasel will remove the chametz and then we will have to do B'dikas chametz again. And Rameri explained that perhaps we'll put away 10 pieces of bread and then we'll only find 9 and we will end up having to do B'dikas Chametz again because we're missing a piece of bread. And that's the halacha that it, and as the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, Choyv Gomer, it's a strict obligation, La'nichena B'tzina, to put the Chametz away in a secure place. The Paiskim discuss what is the halacha if the Chametz was not put in a secure place. So of course, if someone knows how much chametz he had, and he knows that's how much chametz he still has, B'dikas chametz does not have to be done again. However, if the chametz was not put in a secure place, and he doesn't really know if he has no chametz has been missing, and the person can say there may be a possibility that chametz was removed, there are children in the home, other people in the home who may not be as careful as they should be, but B'dikas chametz would have to be done again if the chametz wasn't put in a secure place. Now, Rashi explained the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim in the beginning of the Mishnah, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, B'dikas chametz could be done until Shor Shishis. After Shor Shishis, B'dikas chametz should no longer be done, and we'll explain in the Gemara why. According to Chachamim, in Rashi's explanation, the Chachamim hold that B'dikas chametz could be done until Pesach, but not once Pesach begins. Why? So Rishonim explain either because once Pesach begins, the Isser chametz is a chi of kares. Before Pesach, it's only a chi of, it's not a chi of kares. So once it's a chi of kares, the Chachamim also don't want us to start looking for the chametz. Chas v'shalom, if you look for it and you find it, you may chas v'shalom eat it. But before Pesach, they weren't machmer. Or another reason is that since on Yom Tov, as we have already learned, you're not allowed to burn the chametz if you find it. So that's why the Chachamim will agree that on Yom Tov, don't burn the chametz. Only until Yom Tov can you do B'dikas chametz, because then you'll be able to burn it. Now, Tosfos asks in Rashi a very fundamental question. In the same line of the Mishnah, there's different words used, different terminology used to speak about the exact same time. Rabbi Yehuda calls Shoshishis, according to Rashi, Shas Habir. Tosfos agrees to that. Rabbi Chacham called Shoshishis, but Toy Chamoyed. So Tosfos asks on Rashi, in one Mishnah, in one line, we're using two different terminologies for the exact same time. So the Mefarshim explain that why do Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, according to Rashi, use different terminologies to identify the exact same time? Because as we just explained, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Rashi's explanation, Shas Habir, the Shoshishis, you can't touch the Chametz anymore. Beer, burning, it's it. Nothing more with Chametz. According to Rabbanim, after the Shoshishis, I could still do B'dikas Chametz if I have to. So I can't call it Shas Habir, which indicates a finality. No more. That's why they call it B'toy Chamoyed. But Tosfos has an entirely different explanation of the Mishnah. In Rabbi Yehuda, Tosfos agrees with Rashi's explanation that B'dikas Chametz can be done till Shoshishis. After Shoshishis, B'dikas Chametz can no longer be done. But in the Chachamim, he explains that the Chachamim hold that B'dikas Chametz is to be done at night or in the morning. Like Bodak Baba Asar, Yivdak B'toch HaMoed means you should be by the Chametz from Erev Pesach and throughout the whole Yontif. Like Bodak B'toch HaMoed, if you didn't do B'dikas Chametz through Yontif, Yivdak Lach HaMoed, you do B'dikas Chametz even after Pesach. And Tosfos explains what is the root of the Machloikis between him and Rashi. So Tosfos explains it goes back to something we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. Why, according to Rashi, and why, according to Tosfos, B'dikas Chametz is required? According to Rashi, the reason for B'dikas Chametz is not to transgress Ba'yiroa Ba'yimotze. So therefore, once you already possibly transgressed it, or you're already in Yontif, it's too late. According to Tosfos, the reason for B'dikas Chametz is Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa. You may find a nice bread and you'll eat it. Now that bread that you find, it makes no difference if you find it before Yontif, you find it on Yontif, or even if you find it after Yontif, you're not allowed to eat it, because even Chametz Shavu Lava Pesach, Chametz that Pesach went through is also to be eaten even after Pesach. And that's why Tosfos says in their explanation, the B'dikas Chametz should always be done if it wasn't be done, even after Yontif. Halacha L'maisa, we passing like the Chachamim with Tosfos' explanation of the Chachamim, and therefore, if B'dikas Chametz wasn't done in the right time, at night or in the morning, it could handily be done. But now the question is, how, what, when, where? So, of course, till Pesach, as soon as you remember any time in Erev Pesach, if you did not do B'dikas Chametz, you should immediately do the B'dikas Chametz with a bracha, with a candle. What happens if you only remember on Yontif that you didn't do B'dikas Chametz? So here the Paiskim say, it depends. If you already did Bittul, so the Chiyuv B'dikah is only with Rabbanan, then don't do the B'dikah on Yontif. Do it only on Chol HaMoed. Because since on Yontif, as we said earlier, you're not going to be allowed to burn the Chametz. So doing a B'dikah on Yontif, which you're not mechuyev to do with the Raisa, is something that you should maybe avoid. Chol HaMoed, B'dikah should be done. Now the question is, on Chol HaMoed that you're doing the B'dikah, when should it be done? Should it be done as soon as you remember? Or should you wait till the night? Because B'dikas Chametz should always l'chatchila be done at night. So again, if Bittul wasn't done before Yontif, B'dikas Chametz should be done immediately when you remember. If B'dikas Chametz was already done, then if Bittul Chametz was already done, so many Paiskim say, still do the B'dikah as soon as you remember. Others say that, no, you should wait for the night. And the Kaf HaChaim seems to say depends. If you think that you have Chametz, or you may have Chametz in your property, then do B'dikas Chametz immediately. If you did Bittul and you don't really think you have any Chametz in your property, then you should wait for the night and do it with a candle properly. In terms of a bracha, most Paiskim hold that even if Bittul was done, the Bedikas Chametz that's done on Erev Yontif after his man or throughout the Yontif should be done with a bracha. After Yontif, again, since we hold like Taisvus' explanation, the Chachamim, Bedikas Chametz should be done even after Yontif. But there, everybody agrees that that Bedikas Chametz is done without a bracha, and the Mefarshim say that even though that Chiyuv to do Bedikas Chametz is a Chiyuv Midrabanan, and in things that we're obligated to do Midrabanan, we generally do have to make a bracha. Here, since the entire purpose of doing this Bedika after Yontif is only to avoid eating Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach, which is a Knas, which is a penalty, something which is only being done to avoid a penalty doesn't require a bracha. So the Gemara understands at this point that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to do Bedikas Chametz three different times. Ask the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Chisda v'Rabbi Rav Huna d'Amri Tavayu k'neged sholosh hashbosha shebetorah, because the Torah uses the word hashbosha three times regarding chametz. It says lo yirah lecha chametz v'lo yirah lecha sa'ar shivis yamim sa'ar lo yimotze v'vateichem and ach b'yom erishin tashbishu sa'ar v'vateichem. So since the Torah uses the word tashbisu three times, that's why he says we should do Bedikas Chametz three times. Moshe Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asks from the following braisa. It says in the braisa, Rav Yehuda Omer, Koshlei Badik B'Sholosh Prakim Halalu, whoever didn't do Bedikas Chametz doing these three times, Shuv Ein Abaydik, should no longer do Bedikas Chametz, as we explained, after Shor Shishas. Alma, so we see B'Makan Ve'elechu the Pligi. So as the Mefarshim explained, from this bright it seems that the entire machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is limited in the question if you're allowed to do Bedikas Chametz after Shor Shishas. But if before Shor Shishas, there's total agreement that Bedikas Chametz is done only once. Not the way we're understanding that Rabbi Yehuda says that Bedikas Chametz should be done three times. Mazutra Masmahachi. Mazutra says the question was asked this way. Master Rav Yosef, Rav Yehudaim, Yakoshlai Badik, Bechem Shlosh, Parakim Halalu, whoever didn't do Bedikas Chametz in one of these three times, so we see we only have to do Bedikas Chametz in one of the three times, Shuv Ein Abaydik. After Shor Shishas, don't do Bedika. Alma, again, we see that the machlekes between Rav Yehud and the Chum is limited, but Shuv Ein Abaydik, with the Peligi, if you could do Bedikas Chametz after the Shor Shishas. But before Shor Shishas, they both agree that Bedikas Chametz is only done once. El Rav Yehuda Nami Imloi Badakamer. Says the Gemara, you're right. Rav Yehuda is referring to a situation where Bedika was not done. Rav Yehuda will hold the Bedika only has to be done once. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. If Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Bedikas Chametz only has to be done once, what's the point of saying it in the Pasuk three times? So Rabbi Pnei Yeshua says that each one of these times has a specific significance. The night of Pesach, as we explained, is a time She'or HaNer Yofel Bedika and people are home. In the morning, we explained there's the concept of Zrizim Magdimim. And Shor Shishas has the advantage that this is the last time you could still do the Bedika, but it only has to be done once according to everybody. What is the machloikis in our Mishnah between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? The Hacha B'Kol Kamitzki. The machloikis is regarding this situation, is this Masava Mikama Isuri in Rabbi Yehuda holds only do Bedikas Chametz before Shor Shishas Bas Isur Eloi, after that it's too late. Why? We're concerned that if you can do Bedikas Chametz and you'll find Chametz, you may come to eat that Chametz. So in order to avoid that problem, don't do the Bedikah at all. Rabbanan Savri Lo Gezrin. And Rabbanan hold, we don't make such a Gzeira, and therefore Bedikas Chametz can be done even during Yontif. Ask the Gemara. Umi God Rabbi Yehuda Dima Osla Mechamanai. Ask the Gemara, is this true that Rabbi Yehuda makes a Gzeira, these types of Gzeira, that perhaps we're going to come to eat? But it's not. We learned in a Mishnah. Mishakara for Omer. The Omer was a carbon mincha, which was brought on the second day of Pesach, made of barley flour. The halacha is, until that carbon, mincha, carbon omer, is brought, chadash, any new tefuah, any new crop of tefuah, may not be eaten. Now, the Mishnah says, Masechet Menachos, Mishkarav Omer, Yoitzin, once the Omer was brought, this mincha was brought, they would go out, and Moitzin Shuki Yerushalayim, they found the marketplace of Yerushalayim, Shemaleim Kamech Vekali. They were filled with flour and grain from the new Tvua. Shloibert Soin Chachamim, Divrei Meir. But Remei says it wasn't something the Chachamim were happy with. Why weren't they happy? Because they were concerned that people, if the new grain was available, people may eat it before the carbon was brought. Rabbi Huda says it was done with Ritzon Chachamim. So we see the Loigoy Gazer Rabbi Huda Dima Asla Mechel Menei. Rabbi Huda doesn't make a gzeira. Perhaps people are going to eat. So the question is, why in our Mishnah did he make such a gzeira, and by Omer we find him not make such a gzeira? So the Pnei Yeshua, before we begin the sugyas of today's shir, makes a point. He says that Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara's discussions today about which food will we make exera, which food won't we make exera, only revolves around foods that are not osur l'olam, that will not forever be prohibited. Chametz is only prohibited during Pesach. Omer, a chadash, is only prohibited till the second day of Pesach. A food that's osur l'olam, Chazal didn't feel the need to make a gzeira. Similarly, the Mefarshim point out, there's no discussion about food on Yom Kippur. Because since food on Yom Kippur, all food is all osur under all circumstances, there also is no reason to make a gzeira that we shouldn't touch food or be near food. The issue here is these foods that are sometimes mutter and sometimes asr, and the Gemara's question is, why by chametz did Rabbi Yehuda make a gzeira, and why by omer didn't he make a gzeira? Amar Rava, so Rava answers, Shani Chadosh, Chadosh is different, Mitoch Shlo Yitat Lo Eli De Kittif, since the only way you could cut the grain is by plucking the grain, so that will serve as a hecker. That will serve as a reminder that you can't eat it. Huzacher, he'll remember that he can't eat it. Fine. When I'm cutting the grain, since I'm not cutting it in the normal way, I have a way of remembering that I'm not allowed to eat it. But what about grinding and sifting? What about, how come you're allowed to work with the grain at that point? And it says, the Gemara Holoi Kasha, Tchina Berchai Diyad, you'll have to do the grinding with a handmill, which is different than usual. It was usually done with a machine. You'll turn over the sieve upside down, and that will be the reminder that you're not allowed to eat this. Ask the Gemara, El Hadatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Koitzrin Besashlochim Vishabimokim. We're allowed to cut the irrigated fields and fields in the valleys. Avloi gotcha, we're not allowed to stack it. So the way Rashi explains this is as follows. He quotes a Gemara Masechet Menachos, that the Gemara Masechet Menachos says there are two psukim that seem to contradict each other. One pasuk says, Kisavo ala oretz, asher ninoisein lochem, uktzatem es ktsira, vaveisem es oimer reishes ktsirchem alakoyim. So this pasuk seems to say, uktzatem es ktsira vaveisem, that you're allowed to cut, you're allowed to cut prior to the Omer, and then it says Reishis Ktzirchim, that the Omer is the Reishis Ktzirchim, that that's the first thing that's cut. So is it the first or is it not? So the Gemara answers that what are you not allowed to cut before the Omer? You're not allowed to cut from a field whose produce could be brought for the carbon or Omer. It's a quality field. Since, however, fields like Beis HaShalchin, Sheba Mokim, which is not quality field, carbon oim is not brought from them, you're allowed to cut from them. Kaitrim, cut normally. Avaloi Gaitrim, you're not allowed to stack it. Vakimna, and we explain that this Mishnah goes according to Yehuda, Michael Amemer. So what are you going to say? Here we see that even though you're not allowed to eat it, because the pasuk is only allowing us to cut this grain before the second day of Yontif, not eat the grain. So here we see that even though you're not allowed to eat it, he allows you to cut it, and he doesn't make a gzeira. Now Tosfos points out a very interesting phenomenon. Tosfos says that the Mishnah says that even though you shouldn't bring carbon omer from these fields, if you brought, it's kosher. So Tosfos says from here we see something that we normally don't see, that in a deraisa, in a mitzvah deraisa, there's also a concept of a lechatchila and a b'diavad. Lechatchila, you're allowed, you shouldn't use produce from these fields, and b'diavad, you may. The Shagas Aryeh says that's why the halacha is that you're allowed to cut tvua in chutz la'aretz before the second day of Pesach, even if you're not allowed to eat it, because since you're not allowed to bring the carbon omer from produce from outside of Eretz Yisrael, and we're saying that anything, any tvua that can't be brought to be used for the carbon omer may be cut. Now Tosfos asks the following question. The Mishnah says that we just learned of a loy goyche. We're not allowed to stack the tefuah. Why are we not allowed to stack the omer? Because the only reason that these mishnayis are allowing us to cut the tefuah is because if we don't cut it and bring it to market, we're gonna have a hefset. There's gonna be a loss. So that's why, even though there might be a reason to make a gzeira, Chazal didn't make a gzeira because of hefset. Stacking it, not stacking it before, doesn't involve a hefset. So that's why the Mishnah tells us don't stack it until that carbon is brought. Ask Tosfos if that's the case. So we have a perfect distinction between chametz and omer. By omer, you know why Chazal allowed us to cut it. Because there's a hefset involved. If I won't cut it and bring it to market, I will lose money. Chametz, there's no hefset involved. That's why Rabbi Yehuda made a gzeira. Answers Tosfos that by chametz there's also a hefset. When Rabbi Yehuda tells us don't do the bedikas chametz, you know what the hefset is? The hefset is that you lost the chance, you lost the opportunity to do the mitzvah bedikas chametz, and that's also a hefset. So if Rabbi Yehuda says that hefset is a reason not to make a gzeira, here too he shouldn't have made a gzeira. Elam Abaya Chodesh Bodlminei. You know why he didn't make a gzeira by Chodesh? Because Chodesh people stay away. People know that a good part of the year they're not allowed to eat Chodesh. Chometz loy Bodlminei. Chometz people don't stay away from, and that's why he had to make a gzeira. Amar Rav asked the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Kasha. There's only a question in understanding Rav Yehuda, and Rabbanan like Kasha, and there is no problem understanding Rabbanan. Rabbanan and our Mishnah say you could do Bedikas Chametz Erev Yontif, even on Yontif, and we're not going to make a gzeira. And here we said Shloi Bertzayin Chachamim. Tafer Ahmed Rameya says the Chachamim weren't satisfied with the fact that the markets were full of tefuah before the carbon was brought. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha Kedushaninim. The question of Yehuda we just explained. Rabbanan Nam like Kasha. Who asked my Machzal of the Sarfai Meichel Kalchemenei? Really, the Rabbanan agree we should make Gzeira. But you know why by Chametz we don't make Gzeira? Because what's this person doing? This person is trying to destroy the Chametz. What's Bedikas Chametz for? To destroy Chametz. A person who's going to destroy Chametz, we don't have to worry, is going to eat the Chametz. And this is a very important concept in Halacha. If we see somebody's intent, it has an impact. We'll give some examples. The Halacha is that when someone's wife is a Nida, you're not allowed to put something directly in her hand. But the Halacha is that, let's say a husband is divorcing his wife, Rachman al-Islam, he puts the get directly in her hands, even if she's a Nida. You're not allowed to put something into your wife's hand when she's a Nida. So the Pesach can say, his whole intent is to divorce her. If his intent is to divorce her, you don't have to worry that he's putting something into her hand. Because the only reason you're not allowed to put something into her hand is that they shouldn't have his karvis. They're not having his karvis. They're getting divorced. Or the Night of Yehuda says, a chiddush. He says, let's say someone's wife has to go to the mikveh, and there's no one around to make sure that she properly immerses, her husband's allowed to go watch. But the issue is obvious. You're not allowed to see your wife undressed when she's in nida. She still didn't immerse herself. Again, says Nabi Yehuda, the whole reason that she's going to the mikveh is because they want to do it the right way. So we don't have to worry that he sees her in that situation. Or, Shabina Rav, says a chiddush. He says, there was someone who was a chemist who ran a laboratory, and there was a question on a food. It was bas v'cholof. So he wanted to do an analysis to see if it is bas v'cholof, but it involved cooking up the food item that he was evaluating. And we know you're not allowed to cook bas v'cholof. So the Shabina Rav says, you're allowed to cook this. Because the whole point that you're not allowed to cook bas v'cholof is that you shouldn't come to eat it. This person's obviously not interested in eating bas v'cholof. He's analyzing food to avoid eating bas v'cholof. Or another shaila that the Sefer Shaila Teshuvos Tvar Yeshua says, the halacha is that on Shabbos you're not allowed to dance. We spoke about it. Shem Yisakin Klishir. We're concerned that perhaps somebody's going to fix an instrument. Yet we see people dance. So he says, Chiddush, the whole reason people dance is L'Kavod Shabbos. So if it's L'Kavod Shabbos, we see that this person is so concerned about Shabbos, we don't have to be concerned that this person is going to be Mechal Shabbos and fix the instrument. Rav Ashi says a different answer. Rav Yehuda like Hashem. Rav Yehuda is also not a question. Kemach the Kali Tanan. The Mishnah we're talking about is talking about flour and grain, neither which is eaten in raw form, so we're not worried that the person is going to eat it. But says the Gemara, Hadar of Ashi Bedusi. What Rav Ashi said is incorrect. Because Hatena Mikali Ve'elach. Fine. We could understand what Rav Ashi is going to say about dealing with the grain after it becomes dried. Mikarvet Kali, what about before it's dry, where it's edible? Ma'ikala Meima. So you say before it's edible, when it's just in the stage of cutting, you're going to tell me that he's not going to cut it the normal way. He'll only pluck it. And since he's only plucking it, it's not the normal way of cutting, we have nothing to worry about. We learned that the Mishnah says that you're allowed to cut the tefuah in the irrigated fields, in the valley fields. And we said that Mishnah goes according to Yehuda. How are you going to explain it? Rav Ashi bedusihi. Rav Ashi is incorrect, and that's not the teretz. The Sfas Emes explains what was Rav Ashi's svara. He thought that only by bread, which is the person's staple food item, that's where we should make a gzeira. Anything else which is not the staple food item, there's no reason to make a gzeira. Ask the Gemara. Is that true that wherever people don't stay away, wherever people are not detached from a thing, Migaz Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda make a gzeira, but it's not. We learned in the Mishnah, Masechet Shabbos. Layikav Adam Shefer Shabeya. A person should not make a hole in an eggshell. V'yomena shemen. Fill that eggshell with oil. V'yitnena b'tzana ner. Put it next to the lamp. V'shvil shetayim et netefes. And like that, the oil will drip into the burning lamp. Why? Because we're concerned that by removing some of the oil from the lamp, from the eggshell, he'll be chayiv for mechaba for extinguishing. So like the Miri explains, if we have a cup of oil with a flame in it, then Chazal didn't make a gzeira. Why didn't they make a gzeira? Because when if you'll come to take the oil, you right away see the flame, and it'll keep you from taking the oil. But here, where the oil and the flame are not next to each other, there's a gzeira. A person may come to take the oil because he will find, because he wants to add oil. Even if it's earthenware, which is repulsive, we still make a gzeira, according to the Tanakhama. Rehuda matter. Rehuda says it's mutter. So we see that Rehuda doesn't make a gzeira, yet in our Mishnah, he made a gzeira. Answers the Gemara. Hosom, Mishim Churma de Shabbos Mivdal Bedili. There, because it's Shabbos, and people are very careful not to be Mechal Shabbos, so there's no need to make a gzeira. But ask the Gemara, Varami de Shabbos to the Shabbos. I'll ask you contradiction in Shabbos itself The Tananya, we learned in a braisa, chevad lisha nasak, if the rope of a pail snapped, lo yekashroi. Now I make it a knot, because as we learned, it's also to make a kesher on Shabbos. Ela oinvoi, you're only allowed to make a bow. Rudaima, karech la punda paskia, you could put on it a belt or a garter. Rashi says you wrap it around. Tosfos says you don't even have to wrap it around, you could tie it, because there's no question of kshira on a clothing item, because a person's not going to leave his clothing item permanently attached to a pail. Ovachla yinvena, you're not allowed to make a bow. Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a Kasha and Rabbi Yehuda. Here he says that you're not allowed to tie your bow, because he's concerned if you're going to tie your bow, you're going to make a knot. So we see Rabbi Yehuda does make Gezeirus and Shabbos. So why is he lenient by the eggshell? Kasha Drabonon and Drabonon. And we have a Kasha Drabonon and Drabonon, where Drabonon prohibit the eggshell, and here they allow making a bow. Says the Gemara, Drabonon, Drabonon le Kasha. Drabonon is not Kasha. Shemen b'shemen mechlef. The oil is very confusable with other oil. Oil in the lamp is the same as the oil that he has on his table. And oil is something that people use all the time. That's why the Chacham sort of need to make a gzeira, not to take oil from that eggshell reservoir. However, neva b'kshira le mechlef, people don't confuse a bow with a knot, and there's no need to make a gzeira. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha. Tam Rabbi Yehuda, the reason Rabbi Yehuda says that the Neva is Osir is Lav Mishum de Gazer and Neva Atikshir. It's not that he's saying, you know, I don't make a bow because if you make a bow, you may make a knot. Ella, the reason is Mishum de Kasover, he holds that Neva Guf Akshirihi. A Neva is Osir also. So that's why a Neva is not an option. Rabbanan, Rabbanan, Rabbanan. But now we have a steer and Rabbanan. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Koshin de Liba Peskia. We're allowed to tie a pail with a discarder. Avalai b'chaver, now with a rope. Rabbi Yehuda matter. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. Now let's analyze this Mishnah. Chevel de Mai. What type of rope are we referring to? Ilay milchevel de Alma. If you're talking about a regular rope, Rabbi Yehuda matter? Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to make a knot with a regular rope? It's a chilul Shabbos deraisa. Kesher shel kiyamahu. This is a real knot. The vadios l'tuli. The person intends to leave it there permanently, and that's chilul Shabbos. Elab shita de gardi. It must be that we're using a weaver's rope, and since that rope is not fit for regular use, he's not going to leave it there permanently. The goz rabbonim, and yet what do we see? That the Rabbanan made a gzeira, chavel de gardi, by this weaver's rope, or the chavel de alma, that you can't use a weaver's rope because you may make a knot with a regular rope. So we see that they do make a gzeira. And yet before we saw that they said you can make a bow, and they weren't concerned that if you're going to make a bow, you may make a knot. Answers Gemara, yes, in. Chavel bechavel miflef. The Rabbanan hold that once you're making knots, it doesn't make a difference. Here you used a regular rope, and here you used a weaver's rope. It could get confused, and that's why all knots are aser. A neva b'kshira, but a bow with a knot, according to Rabbanan Le'michel, for people don't confuse, and that's why a bow may be made, and a knot may not be made. Ask the Gemara, V'kol heichad d'bodminei l'goz Rabbi Yehuda, is it true that wherever people anyway are staying away from the item, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make a gzeira? But Tanya, we learned in a braisa, the halacha is that the firstborn male child of an animal is a bechor. You have to give it to the kohen. There is an iser to make a blemish on such an animal. The Torah says, kol mum lo yibay. You're not allowed to make a blemish. So bechor she'ochsei dam, a bechor that has a disease, that has a congestion of blood, the halacha is, you're not allowed to let the blood out, not allowed to make any type of puncture. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You're allowed to, just be careful, don't make a permanent blemish. So here we see that Rabbi Yehuda says you can't make a blemish because it may make a permanent blemish. Even though people stay away from a bechor, everybody knows that a bechor is asur. Answer the Gemara, Hossam, you know why Rabbi Yehuda made a gzera there? B'tayach sha'adam ba'al amamayna, since a person is concerned that if he doesn't do something, the animal may die. I mean, if we're going to allow him to make a non-permanent blemish, he may make a permanent mum. Rabbanan, that's why he says don't touch the animal at all. Rabbanan holds just the opposite. Koshkein, diloy sharas lay asul mevid. Rabbanan say it's better that we should allow him to make this non-permanent mum, even though it's not something that we really should want him to do, because we're concerned that if we won't let him do that, he may chas v'shalom make a permanent mum, which is the issa deraisa. So we choose boicha rabbi miyutai. We choose what is the smaller problem, which is the smaller concern, which is only to make a temporary mum. Ask the Gemara. Does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to the concept that a person gets panicky when it's involving his money, and that's why we have to be strict? But we're not allowed to comb an animal. We'll explain in a moment what type of combing kidur is on yontif. Av makatzvin, kirtzif is mustar. The chom oimrim aim akadim af aim akadim, not kidur nor kirtzif is mutar. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Eze kidur veze kirtzif. What is kidur and what is kirtzif? Kidur ktanim. Kidur is when you use a comb with thin teeth that oisen chabura, that make a wound. Kirtzif gedolim vein eisen chabura. Kirtzif refers to using a comb with thick teeth, doesn't make a wound. So we see that Yehuda holds that even though a person is anxious to comb his animal, because it's what it needs for its health, he says that you can use a big comb and not a small comb. And he doesn't say that since the person is all concerned and I let him use something, he may come to do even something which is asur. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, in the case of the Bukhar that has the congestion of blood, the shavaklei, that if you're going to leave the animal the way it is, mayis, it'll die. I mean, odin bala mamayne. We say a person's concerned about his money, and he may lose track, and that's why we don't let him do anything. And we find the same concept if there's a fire, chas v'shalom and Shabbos, where Chazal said, don't do anything, because we're concerned once we let him do, he may come to do kibud deraisa. Hocha, however, in our case, ishavaklei, if this animal that you don't comb out, if you don't do anything, tsar ba'almahu, it's just going to be uncomfortable, but it's not going to be in danger. We don't say a person gets panicky, and even Rabbi Yehuda says what's mutter is mutter, what's asur is asur. Now the Rishonim ask, why should the halacha be that you should not be allowed to use even a big comb, even a small comb with the thin teeth? Why don't we say that comb, it's a davar she'ein miskaven, you're not intending to let out blood to make a chabura, and it should be mutter? It's Rabbi Kivega's question, but there's a Rabbeinu Chananel, that Rabbeinu Chananel explains that it's a psik reisha. It's certain that if you would have combed with thin teeth, that you will let out blood, so it's not a davar she'ein miskaven, it's a psik reisha of chabura. Asking my Rabbi Yehuda, Maishna Gabi Chomitz the Gozer. Why did Rabbi Yehuda make a gzeira by Chomitz, or Maishna Gabi Kirtzif the Legozer? Why didn't he make a gzeira by the comb? Says the Gemara, if by Chomitz he made a gzeira that you can't do B'dikas Chomitz because you may come to eat it, but he didn't make a gzeira that you shouldn't do Kirtzif because you may do Kirdur. Says the Gemara, Lechem Melechem Mechlef. Bread is very confused. It's easy to confuse. The whole year I'm allowed to eat bread. Here I'm not allowed to. Kidur b'kirtzif le'mechlef. Kidur and kirtzif are totally different, and people don't make that mistake. The Mefarshim point out that the Gemara did not give the answer that people, like they did according to Yehuda on Amud Aleph, that people are careful about Yontif, like they are about Shabbos, because they say since on Shabbos no malacha is permitted, people know that on Shabbos you can't do malacha, and they are very concerned. On Yontif, since certain malachas are permitted, we are concerned that if the person will do some malacha, he will come to do more malacha, and that's why the Gemara was asking, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda make a gzeira? But it's important to note that although we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, if we make the gzeira, the Gemara agrees that the Chacham agreed that there is a reason on Pesach not to touch chametz. The only time the Gemara is saying the Chacham Amekel is while you're doing Bedikas Chametz. Because since the person is doing Bedikas Chametz, who acts my Machsa Lav L'Sofai, he's destroying the Chametz, we don't have to worry he's going to eat it. But let's say a person is not involved in Bedikas Chametz, he's not allowed to get close to Chametz even according to the Chachamim. And that's the Halacha. You're not allowed to touch Chametz on Pesach. And in fact, even if you see the Chametz of a non-Jew, which is his, and is permitted, the halacha is you're not supposed to touch that chametz. If you want to move it, you should only move it with a stick or with your leg. Don't touch it with your hands. Says the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah begins to discuss exactly what times in the day, Erev Pesach, are the surim regarding chametz. Ramei Omer, Oichlan Kol Chamish, we could eat chametz the entire fifth hour, V'sofin B'tchila Shesh. We burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Now, when we talk about hours, it's important to mention that we're referring here to Shos Zmanius. That means we divide the day into 12. There's a machloikis, what is considered the day. The Magen Avraham holds that day is from Alois HaShachar until Tzeis Kechavim. The Gra and the Shulchan Aruch Rav hold that the day is from the Netzach Hama to Shkias Hama. We divide that into 12 parts, and that every 1/12 of that is an hour. So Meir says that Oichlin Kol Chamish, we could eat chametz the entire fifth hour. That means, although Midaraisa chametz is mutter into the sixth hour, Chazal acid it, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, we shouldn't make a mistake. The Sarfim B'Tchil HaShesh, and we have to, Sarfim B'Tchil HaShesh, we burn the Chametz at the beginning of 6th hour, according to Rameya. Yehudaima, Oichon Kol Arba, we could eat Chametz the entire 4th hour. Toilon Kol Chamish, we leave it hanging the 5th hour. The Sarfim B'Tchil HaShesh, and we have to burn it at the beginning of the 6th hour. He adds 1 hour. Vaidam Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Shtei Chal Shatay De Psulis, there were 2 Pasul Chalas, the carbon tide was brought with 40 chalas. 30 were matzah and 10 were chametz. 2 chalas that were pasul were left out. Menachas agabe itzdeba were put on top of the bench on the Har Bayis. Kolman shemenachas, as long as they're out, kolam oichlan, people will eat the chametz. Nitla achas, when one was removed, toilin, they will know that they have to stop eating. They don't eat and they don't burn. Nitlu shteyem, when both loaves were removed, schil kalam sarfim, everybody would begin burning the chametz. Rav Gamliel says, chulin nechalim kol arba, the chulin is eaten the entire fourth hour, chuma kol chamish, chuma is eaten the entire fifth hour. This is where he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, v'sarfim tichle shesh, and he too agrees that we have to burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Now, the Kesef Mishnah points out that why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is somebody allowed to wait until the sixth hour to burn the chametz? He says that since, according to the Chachamim, chametz in the sixth hour is asa b'hana, they should have told us that we have to burn the chametz prior to that time. The Kesef Mishnah says that when Chazal made the gzeira, what they said was that you're not allowed to benefit from chametz during the sixth hour, but they didn't say that it has to be treated the same way as chametz after chatzos, and they did not require to burn it prior to the sixth hour. However, our minig is to burn it before then, and the reason, even though we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, because since our minig is to do bittel chametz again, not just that night, but we do bittel chametz again, shas, we do the sreifa, And if it's already in the time where it's asr bahanah, you can't do bittel. So that's why we're careful to do the burning of the chametz in a time when the bittel that we say will still be effective. There's an interesting shaila, if you could burn chametz earlier in the morning, because maybe you should wait to burn the chametz till later in the day when it's obvious that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. So the Paiskim say that there is a point in trying to do it later, unless when you do it earlier it's obvious that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. Like in our times, people, if they want to dispose food, they don't burn it, they throw it away. Therefore we could burn chametz in the morning and it's still obvious that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah discusses the halacha of saying Eidus. It's talking about a din in the fash, it's a capital case. One witness says that what happened the second day of the month. The other one says it happened the third day of the month. Eidus and Kiyomis. Still, the testimony is considered valid. We can assume that this one knows that last month was a day extra, and this one does not. But like the boys can point out, they're both saying testimony that what happened the same day of the week. They're both saying what happened, let's say, on a Tuesday. They're only not sure what date it was. And since they're only one day off, we could easily explain that this mistake is because they don't know about what happened with the previous month, and that's why their Eidus is good. Now, Rabbi Chanan makes a very important point. He says, we know that the Gemara says many times, the Shafto Eidah, the Tzilo Eidah, we always want to try to look how to exonerate a defendant. And here, we're not using this obvious discrepancy as a way to exonerate. So the Mefarshim will explain that even though we try to do that, there has to be some sort of sense to it, where it's so obvious that these two witnesses match. They're saying, both of them are saying that it's on this right day of the week, and the mistake is so obvious why it was made, you can't just use it as a way of exonerating the defendant. Although the Rishash says one of the two of them has to get the right date. However, if something, one of them said it happened the third day of the month, another one said it happened the fifth day of the month, there are some Taylor, because there's no way of explaining the discrepancy. One of the witnesses say that it happened 2 hours in the day, another one said it happened the third hour, it's upheld because people make that mistake, as we will explain soon. But one said it happened in the third hour. Another one says in the fifth hour. Edusa b'teila, the testimony is void. Divrei remeya. Yudai may dosen kayemis. The edus is still upheld. Only echrayim b'chamish. Echrayim b'shever. Here, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that even though it's a two-hour discrepancy, and he said a moment ago the two-hour discrepancy can be explained, here he'll agree edusa b'teila that the testimony is null. Why? Shebechamish chav b'mizrach. The fifth hour, the sun is still on the east side. Or b'shema chav b'marav. And the seventh hour, it's on the west side. So this mistake cannot be explained away. Amr Abaya. Shetemtzel loim l'drav Rameya. According to Rameya, ain adam toiv leiklum. We could say Rameya holds that people don't make any mistake. And l'drav Yehuda adam toiv chatzishah. A person who makes a mistake is only in half an hour. And the Gemara explains. The actual story that happened was the Mekel Maipik Tarti Umayel Klas. The incident occurred when the second hour ended and the third hour began. So the witness that said it was in the second hour meant Sarshtaim, the end of the second hour. The witness that said the third hour meant Chila Shalosh, the beginning of the third hour. So there's really no difference. The Dir Rabbi Yehuda Adam Toy Chatzisha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a person makes a half an hour mistake. Ma'is Kahava, the story that happened, the Palga de Arbahava. It took place in the middle of the fourth hour, 4.5 hours after the beginning of the day. For Haida Kamer Shalosh, so the person that said Shalosh beside Shalosh meant at the end of the third hour, the beginning of the fourth hour, so he's a half an hour early.
The katoy a pal gishod the kamei. He said something. He was a half an hour too early. The hayde kama chamesh. The person said fifth hour. He meant betchilashesh. Meant the beginning of the fifth hour. The katoy b'hag the shat al chorin. It was a half an hour late. The discrepancy is only a half an hour.